Our Letters from Camp Training Camp podcast is brought to you by Bella Construction, a five-star home improvement contractor proudly serving the Pittsburgh area for over 20 years. Visit mybellaroof.com and request a quote today. Another Bella Construction Training Camp podcast here on Breakfast with Benz. Tim Benz with you today, coming at you from Pittsburgh. We are going back out to St. Vincent College in just a few hours for the second day of Steeler Training Camp practices. Day one, of course, dominated by the quarterback conversation. Mitch Trubisky got his first public razzing from Steelers fans. They were in attendance for the first time in 2 years for training camp. First time in 2 years the training camp has been at St. Vincent College, of course. And Mitch Trubisky threw two incompletions on his first two throws at training camp as the Steelers' first-string quarterback. One fan close to the field at St. Vincent College very clearly and loudly yelled, "Get Pickett in there!" The guy was kidding, I think. Kenny Pickett, the Pitt product and first-round draft choice, worked with the third team. He threw an interception on the last play of practice, and near as I could tell, that same fan didn't yell for fourth-stringer Chris Oladokun to replace him, but I'll be honest, I wasn't listening that closely. Wouldn't be surprising, though, if that was the case, because you know how Steelers fans are with their quarterbacks, and this is just foreshadowing of how things are going to be all year long. You can bank on that. But I would also say that along with the quarterback talk, a lot of the talk yesterday was about Steelers wide receiver Diontae Johnson as well. While discussing the state of his contract negotiations with the Steelers during a media scrum yesterday, Johnson admitted that he was frustrated by some of the public reaction to his financial requests, specifically those in fan and media circles who don't believe he's worthy of being in the $20 to $25 million range per year, as so many other team-leading receivers have soaked out of their franchises this offseason. Specifically, Terry McLaurin, A.J. Brown, Stephon Diggs, guys like that. Here's what Johnson said while speaking with the media.
Can't take stuff personal, you know, because it's business at the end of the day. And that's what I'm learning slowly. Sometimes, you know, it's just like with anything. Stuff get frustrating. It's just how you respond to it. But I'm not letting that, you know, derail me at all. So I'm just going to keep going and worrying about the right things.
You guys kind of get going
not
here.
To pay attention to that. Is it hard not to get frustrated when people are saying that you're not worth this, or saying that?
Yeah,
you
it
are
is. And it is, because at the end of the day, you know what you're capable of doing on the field, you know. But it's just like how you carry yourself and through the whole situation. And I'm being positive as I can, like every day, not to worry about certain stuff and let it bother me. So like I can just keep getting information from certain players, like I said before, and just see how they handled it, and then add that to my repertoire.
Johnson said two of those players have been teammates T.J. Watt and Minkah Fitzpatrick, both of whom have received massive contract extensions for the Steelers in recent months, both of whom staged hold-ins, so to speak, where they showed up for off-season practices but only did individual drills. For Watt, that situation dragged on through the 2021 training camp until the two sides struck a $112 million deal in the days leading up to the regular season opener in Buffalo. For Fitzpatrick, his was a barely noticeable reduction in OTAs and minicamp that culminated in a $73 million agreement on June 16th. During Wednesday's first full training camp practice, Johnson appeared to be heading down the Watt path. He practiced with his position group during individual drills but withheld participation the moment the practice switched over to any team-related interaction. If Johnson doesn't like people making unfavorable comparisons between him and other receivers, he's really going to hate it when people start making comparisons between him and Watt, because the only thing similar between Watt's hold-in last year and Johnson's this year is their chosen method of protest. There are no other comps to be drawn between the two players or their situation. And that's going to make it much harder for Johnson to convince the Steelers he's worth the exorbitant cost that other receivers are commanding. For example, Watt is a much better player. Johnson is very good, but Watt is overwhelming. Johnson was a Pro Bowl replacement in 2021. Watt was the defensive player of the year in 2021. Watt is a pass rusher, Elite pass rushers are hard to find and more important to keep, especially in the Steelers 3-4. Above average, but not quite all pro receivers like Johnson seem to be available all the time in the draft, free agency, or the trade market. Look at how Tyreek Hill, Devontae Adams, and A.J. Brown all changed teams. Look at how 10 of the first 50 picks of the draft were wideouts in 2022. As an outside linebacker in the Steelers 3-4 scheme, the Steelers knew that it was going to be worthwhile whatever investment they gave Watt. His contract was always going to get done. It was just a matter of time. They may not feel the same way about Johnson, though. I mean, it's too harsh to say that the Steelers view him as disposable, but it would also be an extreme overreaction to say that the team views him as irreplaceable either. I don't believe the organization is quite as convinced that any single wide receiver is going to be worth the $20 to $25 million that seems to be going around these days, especially Johnson himself, who was scooped up out of the MAC in Toledo in the third round. The Steelers may have already buttressed themselves for Johnson's departure next year by drafting George Pickens and Calvin Austin III. That's another factor. Meanwhile, the Steelers can't seem to do better than finding backups for Watt than Derek Tuska and Jannard Avery. Now, many of these same points could be applied to comparisons for Fitzpatrick, too. He's an all-pro player with the Steelers, and they traded a number one pick to obtain him in 2019 at a position they have struggled to populate. Johnson is a high-quality wide receiver. The Steelers are a better team with him than without him, to be sure, and none of this is meant to disparage him. It's only meant to offer some advice. Like, don't take advice from players about how to leverage your contract status when they both have a lot more leverage than you do. By the way, Johnson's receiving touchdowns, if you want to make an over-under bet at BetRivers, regular season over-under 5.5 at minus 108. I'll take that. He had 8 last year. It may dip this season, but I don't think it'll dip that much. The under is at minus 115 for 5.5 touchdowns. His receptions are at minus 112 in both directions at 90.5. He had 107 last year. With Roethlisberger gone and more downfield throws, I can see why the number slips so much. I could see Johnson hovering right around that 90 catch mark, though. I'm going to suggest under, since I think the Steelers will spread the ball around more this year and his volume slips. We'll see. But I like the over on the touchdowns for Johnson more than I like playing the over-under on the receptions in either direction. All right, that'll do it for Thursday's podcast brought to you by Bella Construction. Back with one more tomorrow before the weekend and then a full week next week as training camp continues at St. Vincent College in Latrobe. Tim Benz here for Breakfast with Benz at Trib Live, once again brought to you by Bella Construction. Visit them at mybellaroof.com and request a quote today.